More attacks of youth counselors by inmates at the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison over the weekend. Joining us on the final segment of the show, a teacher at the prison who was brutally beaten by an inmate recently, Pandora Lobatz. And Pandora, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program.
Morning, Greg.
First of all, how are you doing physically and mentally?
Obviously, I'm still setting up doctor's appointments. I still have to go to a neurologist. I was able to get in to see a psychiatrist. I've been diagnosed with PTSD. That's just part of the process of the course. I think anybody who's working in the DOC right now, you know, is probably going to end up at some level with that.
Well, we wish you the best. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we hope that you have a speedy recovery. And I know it's gonna take a while, though. But what was your reaction when you heard about these attacks of the youth counselors at Lincoln Hills over the weekend?
It's just dumbfounding that we have made an effort to get out there and to try to get some changes made. You know, obviously, I've made the decision to attempt to be a catalyst for change. But you know what happened over the weekend, I'll just give you some quick updates. One youth counselor out of the restrictive housing unit earlier in the day had went to leave out one of the newer youth that came from reception, and he came out punching and ended up punching him in the face, ended up with a fat lip. A little bit later during the day, three youth that were in the restrictive housing unit managed to get up over the fence or over the roof and took off and ran around the ground, so they had to get them. Later on, there was a SYC, which she's supervising YC actually in the restrictive housing unit right now. Her and another YC went down to let out a youth for rec. All of this is related again to the ACLU injunction. And when they opened the door, the kid punched the male youth counselor right in the face. And then I just want to share, actually, I got specifics about it.
Yes.
I'm just going to read this. It's just so I'm being truthful here, or, you know, giving you the facts. That 11-11 opened the cell door of a youth in restrictive housing for his exercise time outside. SYC was behind me, assisting me. When I fully opened the door, the youth punched me in my left side of the face, causing immediate swelling to my cheekbone. SYC then pulled me aside, and the youth grabbed this woman by her hair and dragged her into the room to assault her. I immediately got my footing and went back into the cell to assist her. When I tried to decentralize the youth, he struck me in the forehead with his closed fist. I then used OC spray, but it didn't affect the youth. I got to the side of the youth, picked his legs up from underneath, decentralized him, and then held him while the emergency button was pressed. I don't want to read the whole.
All right. What
on the radio?
What's going on up there? I mean, it just seems like things have gotten worse. They just had a lockdown up there.
Yes, that's correct. What I'm dumbfounded about and what I keep questioning is why they're not pulling in other staff, at least from other, you know, institutions to assist us right now. You know, there's another incident, you know, over the weekend, actually. The unit managers were called in, but one unit manager absolutely refused to go to his unit because he wasn't going to be disrespected. So, again, these managers are the ones that are overseeing these units, and they're refusing to even go into their own units to assist. You know, there were five positions that were collapsed that day that they were ordered in, and none of them went to the units except for one. You know, I'm just reading another. Two of them actually commandeered a van and drove around throughout the day.
Two of the youth inmates?
No, two of the unit managers.
Two of the unit managers. Okay, I got you.
Commandeered a van and just drove around for the day. One unit manager refused to come in. So we're talking about these management level people, you know, it just, you know, at least in the eyes of the line staff, are not being extremely supportive. I mean, it's just, you know, just what happened over the weekend. Of course, we had Tay Quinn, who is, you know, our interim superintendent right now, who is also, you know, oversees the DJC.
What's the talk about him? What's the initial talk about how he's doing?
A lot of youth counselors and line staff are telling me that he hasn't changed. He sits in his office. He doesn't go out on grounds. You know, nothing in terms of safety has changed. So, you know, if anything, I keep getting messages that it's getting worse there. At least the violence is increasing toward line staff, and I'm assuming toward youth with each other, because they can't, you know, we have no means of controlling these young men and women that we're dealing with in the institution.
Pandora Lobotz, a teacher at Lincoln Hills. Pandora, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program.
Can I make one last comment?
Sure.
You know, this is just really disconcerting to me. I also heard that, you know, during the Thanksgiving holiday, right now, as it stands, and this can be verified, you know, through open records, that they're going to be about 296 shifts short for the Thanksgiving week. So how do they plan on covering those?
Interesting. That's a good question. All right. Pandora, thanks.
Yep. Thanks again, Greg.